ready for digging into the Word today? Yes. Excellent, excellent. I'm looking forward to this. Oh, okay, there's one person I said that no matter what, if they called, I'd pick up. I'm sorry, hello? Oh, speakerphone. One more time, I'm sorry.
Brent, is this you?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Who is this?
You don't know who I am?
Is this God?
You got it.
Oh, hey, God, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, but I wanted to tell you something special. I got something special for you. You want to hear about it?
I'd love to.
I got this amazing calling for your life.
Oh, man, that's so exciting.
I mean, I know you're busy.
I'm thinking right now.
I'll call you back later.
Okay, that's perfect. You know, you're God. You can call me anytime you want to, but I'm in the middle of preaching and Pastor David.
This calling I got for you is so good. That's how I got the name Yahweh.
Well, Pastor David's looking at me funny right now, so I should probably go.
I'm sorry. That's how he looks. What are you going to do? Forget about it.
Hey, God, I love you. Talk to you later.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. I love you, too, but in a manly way, if you know what I'm saying.
Of course. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Hey, I'll give you a call and tell Revive I said hi, because I want them to know I'm here today.
Awesome. I'll let them all know. Thanks, God. Oh, if only it was that easy, huh? God says hi, by the way. Wouldn't it be great if it was always that clear? How nice would that be? We're wrapping up this series on God's calling on your life, accept or decline. Are you going to pick up the phone? Are you going to hear his call? Last week, Pastor David shared about how the natural man, our natural selves, before knowing Christ, didn't understand spiritual things. But then when we get saved, when we receive the Spirit, we go through this renewal process. It's a rebirth. We're born again. And then the things of the Spirit begin to make sense to us. Well, part of having the mind of Christ is knowing that this calling on your life, this life of faith, it's not just momentary, it's ongoing. We don't get married and then be like, "Woo, glad that's over with," and then live some kind of roommate life with our spouse, right? It's a lifelong commitment to growth and relationship and kids and changing situations. The mind of Christ is not get saved and then just go live life as usual, but now make a little extra time for church and churchy things. God has drawn us in. He provides us salvation. And then he puts us through such a transformation that his desire is to use you over and over again for bigger, greater, deeper things. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul writes, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You know, this is about you, right? You need to understand that this verse is about you. Handiwork. The Greek word, I love this. The Greek word, it's the word poema. It's where we get the word poem. You're God's poem. And mind you, Greek poems weren't like roses are red, violets are blue. They were epic. Epic. Your life, you are created to be a classical epic. You're his craftsmanship, and you were created for the express purpose for his good works. Works that were planned for you by God a long time ago. Do you think that God has an ongoing call for your life? Well, ongoing, when am I going to be done? Show of hands, who is between 0 and 20 years old? Hands, 0 and 20. You're under 20. Look, you're my son. I know better. Raise it high. Okay, raise your hand if you're between 20 and 40. Okay, there we go. Raise your hand. By the way, you're not done. Raise your hand if you are between 40 and 60 today. There we go. Hey, guess what? You're not done. Raise your hand if you're between 60 and 80 this morning. Woo! I got news for you. You're not done. Raise your hand if you're over 80 years old today. I got news for you. You're not done. God still has a purpose for your life. So, Pastor Brett, when am I done? You ready for this? When you're dead. Raise your hand if you're breathing this morning. Okay, by the way, if anyone didn't raise their hand, the numbers are 911, okay? Okay, can we get those hands up again? Raise your hands if you're breathing. Pastor David, look, this is my dream altar call right here, okay? If you're alive, God is not done with you, and you need to be listening for his call and prepared to answer. So this morning, I'm going to give you a few examples, a few biblical examples of times where God made a special calling on somebody's life. I'm going to make sure that we're working here, and if I hit this button, excellent. Sometimes God calls you to change how you view others. This means, listen, each of these points, you're a believer, you're following Jesus, and you're moving on in your life, and then God says, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to call you to something more. Number one, sometimes God calls you to change how you view others. Around 740 BC, God had a message for the kingdom of Judah. His message for them, for this message, he called Isaiah to be his prophet. And Judah had become a rebellious nation, corrupt. And he leads off with, woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great. And he goes on to tell them, your offerings are meaningless. I hate your religious services. You're unjust. And over the next four chapters, through Isaiah, God expresses his displeasure with Judah and Jerusalem. And then he says, woe to them. They've brought disaster upon themselves. Woe to the wicked. And you can feel Isaiah's heart hardening as he begins delivering God's judgments. Woe to you who add house to house and join field to field until no space is left. Woe to those who rise early in the morning to run after drinks, who stay up late at night till they're inflamed with wine. Woe to those who draw sin along with cords of deceit. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine, who acquit the guilty for a bribe, but deny justice to the innocent. Woe to you! Woe to you! Woe to you! And then in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphim. And each had six wings. With two they were covering their faces. With two they were covering their feet. With two they were flying. And they called out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook. And the temple was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal. He'd taken it with the tongs from the altar, and with he touched my mouth. And he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. And your sin is atoned for." And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." Isaiah, "I've given you a calling to speak to my people, to deliver a message of my judgment. But Isaiah, don't forget that I love them. I'm the one that they've offended, not you. Who will go and represent me? My love, my perfection, my holiness. Who will be my hands and my feet?" In the next few verses, he tells Isaiah, and by the way, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen. They're not going to hear. They're not going to understand. They won't change. But I want you to tell them anyway. You know, John in his gospel quotes these verses in chapter 12, John chapter 12. For the Jews of Jesus' day, they weren't listening either. And then John writes, John 12, 41, as he quotes from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Isaiah saw the glorified Jesus seated on the throne, high and lifted up, looking at him saying, "Who shall I send?" Oh, that changed everything for Isaiah. He saw himself as no better than those who he had been judging. He saw himself as a sinner too. He saw himself in need of atonement, and then he received it. Isaiah, do you see now? Do you see what I'm calling you to? Will you go? Yes, Lord. Send me. And beginning in the next chapter, Isaiah begins to give more prophecies about Jesus than any other prophet. Sometimes God revitalizes your calling to change how you view others. Number two. Sometimes God calls you to do something you have no desire to do. I laugh because it's so true. About 50 years before this event with Isaiah, Jonah was known as a prophet in Israel. And the prevailing empire of that day was the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrians were a wicked people. They were aggressive, ruthless, and they were brutal. They were known to impale their enemies and do cruelties inappropriate to discuss at church on Sunday morning. The Assyrians were hated and they were feared. And then one day, God came to Jonah and he says, hey, Jonah, I want you to go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. Oh, no, Lord, not them. No. Don't make me do that. Because Jonah understood something about this calling that is not made clear until the end of the book. God didn't want to destroy them. God wanted to save them. I won't do it, Jonah said as he jumped on a ship and sailed in the opposite direction across the sea. And after God sent a violent storm, Jonah told his shipmates to throw him into the ocean. I'm not going to do it. Psh. I'd rather die. And after God sent a giant fish to swallow him up, Jonah had 3 days to sit in his room and think about his behavior. And then the fish vomited him out, I love that word, onto dry land. Well, I'm back in Israel. Hey, Jonah. Yes, Lord. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. No. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. So Jonah went off to Nineveh. To the capital of Assyria, and there he preached the shortest sermon of all time. 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 more days, and you're all dead. Ha! How you like me now? But the Ninevites believed God. Even the king believed, and he issued a decree for everyone to fast and to repent, to give up their evil ways and their violence, and to call upon Yahweh. And God relented, and he saved them. And Jonah was angry. It says he felt this was wrong. Oh, this is wrong. Isn't this what I said back in Israel, God? I told you. This is why I took off. I knew that you were a gracious and a compassionate God, slow to anger. There's God again, slow to anger, annoyed Jonah. Slow to anger and abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity. Do you know how bad these people are, God? But God says, should I not have concern for these people? For the great city of Nineveh? In which there's more than 120,000 people. And they can't tell their right hand from their left. They don't know right from wrong. They don't even know any better. They're so caught up in the way that they are, they no longer know any better. Shouldn't I care? Jonah wanted to see God's judgment, but God wanted Jonah to see his love. Sometimes God calls you to do something you have no desire to do. Jonah gives us a great example of how not to do it. The question is, how will you choose to answer the call when he calls you to do the thing you don't want to do? Number three. Sometimes God calls you to do something completely different. Around the same time as Jonah, Amos was fully engaged in his call to love the Lord his God and work hard for a living. We got any of those here today? Love the Lord your God and work hard for a living. Do we have any businessmen, any entrepreneurs, business owners, corporate level guys here today? Raise your hand. All right. Amos ran two businesses. He lived in a city called Tekoa. Tekoa was a dry region about 10 miles south of Jerusalem. And Tekoa is kind of, how do I put it? I can pick it myself. It's a little like Spring Valley. It is a lower income area. It's not the greatest area to be living in. But he had two businesses there. The first one was he was a goat herder. But he was a herdsman. He actually like owned the sheep and took care of the sheep and had his own individual shepherds. He was like an over shepherd. And this area is known for its goats. I've seen pictures of these things. It's known for its goats. They're about this high and they have long hair that goes all the way down to the ground. They're these janky little goats. Weird looking goats. And then it's also known for its sycamore figs. Now, when I say figs, don't think Fig Newton. Don't think, ooh, that sounds good. Or like a nice fig cake, you know, where they press them all together. They weren't that good. They weren't that nice. But they were commercially viable because they were cheap. And they became a staple for poor people because you could get them cheap and it was still healthy. So he had janky goats and he had janky figs. So he ran two janky little businesses. He made it work. But one day, God called Amos to go do something radically different. See, he was living in Judah, but just north of him, the nation of Israel was in utter rebellion against the Lord. They were unjust, cavalier, arrogant. They were taking advantage of the poor, and they were sacrilegious in their devotion to God. Now, surely there were other prophets that God could have sent. We know that Jonah was busy. Hosea was having marital problems. That's a Bible joke. But God called this devout businessman to leave his livelihood in the hands of others and go and deliver a message. In the middle of prophesying all the way into chapter 7, he's being accused by the king's priest. And the king's priest tells him, go earn your bread somewhere else. Quit trying to make money off of us. And he says, I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd. And I took care of the sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from tending the flock, and then he said to me, go and prophesy to my people Israel. Now then, hear the word of the Lord. Sometimes God calls you to something completely different. Just because you do one thing doesn't mean that God can't use you in a completely different way. Even though Amos delivers a strong message to the people of Israel, there's an air of strength about him. There's an air of wisdom and coolness about Amos that I think he was able to deliver because of what God had had him doing for all of those years. He took his experiences and he said, you're the guy who I want to go tell Israel what I need to say. Are you ready to let God use you in ways that you haven't even considered? Number four, sometimes God raises the bar on your existing ceiling, or excuse me, on your existing calling. God raises the bar on your existing calling. God calls his, Jesus called his disciples to follow him, and they came. But later they were sent out two by two to go minister in the towns, to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. But then after Pentecost, then they preached boldly. And ultimately, every single disciple except for John was martyred for his faith, put to death for his faith. Matthew made it all the way to Ethiopia. Thomas made it all the way to India. Not bad for some guys called off the side of the street. Come, follow me. Step it up. Go to the towns. Step it up. Tell people about the kingdom of God. Step it up. Tell people about the risen Jesus. Step it up. Go further and further. Sometimes God raises the bar on your existing calling. How far are you willing to go when God calls? And I don't mean by quantifiable distance. Paul wrote, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Will you answer the call when he raises the bar? Because Jesus is our life. He is our life. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Number five. Sometimes God calls you to go further than you ever expected. On his first missionary journey, Paul traveled up into Asia Minor, what we call modern-day Turkey, to a region that was known as Galatia. And there he established a group of churches. And sometime later, he decided to go back and let's check on the churches. Let's go see how the churches are doing. But then something interesting happened. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. That's all there in Turkey. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Did you see that? They thought they knew where they were going, and the Holy Spirit said, no. So then they came to the border of Mysia. So they couldn't go this direction. They went a different direction. And they tried to enter Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Well, I figured I was going to go this way. If not, I'll go to southern Turkey. I'll go to northern Turkey. So then they passed by Mysia and they went down to Troas, down by the sea. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia, that would be northern Greece, standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. A vision of a man, come help us. Come help us. Well, after Paul had seen the vision, Luke writes, we got ready at once to leave from Macedonia. Good call. Concluding that God had called us, there's the word, called us, proskaleo, he had specifically called us out to preach the gospel to them. What was the result? They traveled to Macedonia. They got on a ship there. They traveled up north, and they traveled to Macedonia, and they ended up in Philippi, and they planted a church. And then they crossed over to Thessalonica, and they planted a church. And then they crossed over into central Greece to Berea, and they planted a church. And then they made their way down to Corinth, and they planted a church. We get to read the letters and the ministry that happened as a result. As you develop the mind of Christ, as you grow and mature spiritually, the question is, will you hear when God says no? And then, are you willing to change your plans when it's clear that God has had something different in mind for you? Because sometimes God calls you to go further than you expected. Plain and simply, God is calling you. God is calling you. I guarantee you God is calling you, because it says he's going to call you. He's got works that he has planned and prepared in advance for you to do. You were created for it. I assure you, God is calling you. And the first thing that he calls us to is to come. And we understand that he calls us first to come. And so I just want to take a second and say, he calls us first to come to him, to come to a saving grace. And I realize we haven't exactly delivered a gospel message this morning, but if you don't know Jesus here today, I'm going to tell you this: he has a plan and a purpose for your life, and a desire to use you. Not to use you up, but to include you in his plan. Things that he has already prepared for you. He loves you that much. And if that's something that you want today, I see mostly familiar faces, but if that's something that you want today, if you haven't made that decision yet today for Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand? This is private, it's personal. Everyone's not like digging around at who's raising hands. Anybody? All right. Like I said, mostly familiar faces here today. That said, then once you've accepted that call, whether you're 15, 55, or 85, do you believe that you are God's workmanship, his handiwork, his craftsmanship, his epic poem, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do? Do you believe it? Because God has a plan for your life. It may be big. It may just seem big. It might be simple, but he created you just for this, for his purpose, to invite you to join him in what he's doing. You might be called to see others differently, to do something you don't want to do. You may be called to do something completely different than what you're doing now. God might be raising the bar on your current calling, and he might be calling you to go further than you ever planned or expected. But I assure you, he's calling. And I say, answer the call. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for making us a part of all that you do. Lord, who am I? Who am I that you've desired to draw me in to all that you do, and yet you have a purpose and a plan? Undeserving, sinful, and yet you loved us, saved us, removed our sin, had a purpose, an intention made us your sons and daughters. Behold, what manner of love that the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. And that is what you are. And like a good father, you've invited us in to do good works, to draw more people in, that more people might know you. Lord, let us be a part of the kingdom of heaven, a part of spreading the gospel, a part of helping people grow to be more and more and more like you. Father, thank you. It might be to one or five or 500, but Lord, it's whatever it is, it's what you have planned. It's what you have purposed. And we give it all to you. Father, we dedicate our lives to you, for to live is Christ. To die is to be with you for all eternity. It's a win-win. Father, we thank you and we praise you. And in your holy, holy, holy name, all God's people said, amen.